Bibles and open them, if you will, to Mark chapter 14. Our study this morning, I will be there for you. On your sheet, there are outlines that may help you in tracking today and also meditating on God's truths throughout the week. Mark 14, I want to begin reading in verse 11, and I will read through verse 28 this morning, and then we will unwrap this. Judas began seeking how to betray Jesus at an opportune time, not publicly, but privately. Set him up, reveal the location. On the first day of unleavened Passover, or unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him." That was rather unique because men didn't do that culturally in that day. That was what the women of the day did. Men would carry water, but in a different fashion. He's going to jump out at them, be easily marked and identified. "Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he himself will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Prepare for us there." The disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as Jesus had told them. They prepared the Passover. When it was evening, Jesus came with the 12, and as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." They began to be grieved and said to him one by one, "Surely not I." Question. And he said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who dips with me in the bowl, for the Son of Man is going to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took some of the bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them. "Take it. This is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them. They all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away. It is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.'" And we end with this last verse. And here we find our title. "But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." It'll take us a few weeks to flesh this out. Judas, Good Friday, Bad Friday, Saturday, the Sabbath, Resurrection Sunday. And the events unfolding that. This morning, keying in on that last comment of Jesus, we find great hope for today. As we begin our study this morning, let me ask you two questions. Number one, what does a stop sign look like? First blank in your notes. I even gave you room to write. What does a stop sign look like? Give you about 10 seconds. 1, 2, 10. If you don't have it now, you're never going to get it. What's a stop sign look like? What'd you write down? Nothing. Red and white. Bold letters. What's the shape? Octagon. Okay, you're doing so well on question number one. How about question number two? Question number one, what does a stop sign look like? Now, question number two, what does a go sign look like? What does a go sign look like? That's a really good question. Because I'm not sure there's an official answer, but what do you think a go sign would look like? Green. Hurry up and think because the traffic's backing up behind you. Yeah, green. Bold, and doesn't say stop, it says go. Well, I remember some of the instructions of my driver's ed teacher way back many decades ago. And he told us that when we came to a stop sign, we were supposed to stop and stop in such a way that we could open the door, put our foot outside, touch the pavement, and then that meant that we'd come to a full stop, supposedly. Put our foot back in, close the door, that's always helpful, and proceed down the road. Full stop. What's a go sign look like? Full stop, fresh start, forward steps. There's our study this morning. The communion table is all about a full stop. It's all about a fresh start. It's all about forward steps. The text open before us highlights a unique event, the Passover, while unveiling a connected and a completing event, the Lord's Supper, communion, that pictures for us the truths of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Passover celebration was a feast and a festival. It was a significant event that had morphed into and bringing in this other feast of Judaism, an extended festival experience, celebration. Well, that Passover celebration introduces for us the today celebration of the Lord's Supper. In one sense, as we have already read, the Passover, this Passover was the final Passover, and the communion experience of Jesus and the disciples is the first Lord's Supper. Well, the moment in time today is here to impact, the moment in our text impacts our moment today. And this moment is our stop and go sign. Wherever life finds you today, whatever you came in here with this morning, the baggage that we're carrying, and we all carry baggage, we all have stuff in our trunk and in the glove compartment and underneath the seats. Wherever life finds you today, this is your time to stop. Stop for all the right reasons. Stop for the best reason. Be energized. Be engaged. And then move forward on target with Christ. Full stop, fresh start, forward steps. You know, we all need those. We all need fresh stops, full stops. We all need fresh starts. We all need forward steps with Jesus Christ. Let's look at the stop and goes. We've kind of got them divided into three sections this morning. Let's look at section number one. The stop and go begins with the furnished room. Where do you want us to go? Verse 12 through 16. Where do you want us to go? That is an excellent question to start this story. It's an excellent question to start each day with the Lord Jesus. Where do you want me to go today? Notice the details that Jesus gives. Notice some planning. Yeah, there's all kinds of debate. Does Jesus know what he knows because he set everything up? Or does he know what he knows because he knows everything? It's kind of you can run around that tree all afternoon if you want. I think they both come into play here. And here's what's really significant for us to grasp. The fingerprints of God are everywhere. Sometimes they're easier to see, which means sometimes not so easy to see, but the fingerprints of God are everywhere, including everything in our lives. Go into Jerusalem. There you will find a prepared and a planned place for you, a reserved and a ready room for you to do your work. And that kind of gives us a picture of that divine human equation that will answer some of the questions as we work our way through the text today and look at the applications to our life. A room planned and prepared, reserved and ready for the disciples to do what they were supposed to do. The fingerprints of God are everywhere. Sometimes they are easier to see. Second truth spinning out of these first couple of verses, there is no randomness. No randomness in God's world. And in God's world, you have landed. That means there's no randomness in your life. Do you ever feel that way? Like, man, just things bounce into my life. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to control them. I didn't sign up for this. Yeah, I'll join the rest of the crowd. That's true. And what keeps us sane, what keeps us settled, is that there's no randomness in God's world. I can't explain it all, and you can't explain everything, and there's some things that are only going to make sense on the other side of life, the other side of eternity. But what calms us is that there's no randomness, no out of control, helter skelter, lack of rhyme or reason in God's world. The more we understand about God, the more calming and settling we will become in an unsettling world. A couple truths about God, and you might see this in your notes. Let's look at a couple of the characteristics of God. His eternality, his eternal nature. God always was, always is, always will be. Jesus Christ always was. He had no beginning. He has no end. Which means all things are following God. Everything in your life is not directing God, dictating or demanding God respond or act. All things are following God. Then let's look at the goodness of God. We could call it the greatness of God or the glory of God, but just the goodness of God. God is perfect, perfectly holy, perfectly good, which means he is good even when life does not look good. Easier said than done? No, it's not. Right, is it? Not always easy to understand, but here we find calm. Here we find peace. God is good even when my life does not look good, and he will continue to work out his plan, his good plan, his perfect plan. And when we don't understand the details, we trust the one who's in charge. We trust the one who sits on the throne. You see, Jesus is in complete control of the circumstances. And that is what you see in this text. He's in control of everything, even to the minutia of where to go to celebrate the Passover and how they're going to celebrate it and how he will be betrayed. Judas is actively looking for the opportunity. The leaders of Judaism, the enemies of Christ, are waiting to pounce. And Jesus remains in control. They will not discover him until they finish the Passover celebration, until he does all the events and teachings of the upper room. They won't discover him until Jesus reveals himself. He's in complete control of the circumstances. Never think that Jesus is a victim in Passover week. He's in charge. He's orchestrating all the Passover events. And if he's Lord of his circumstances, it means he's Lord of all our circumstances, all of your circumstances. And here's a life connection for today. First life connection, Jesus goes ahead of me in my life circumstances. You can look at Ephesians 1, verse 11 and 12, Romans 8, 28. God continues to do his work, his plan, and nothing will stop thwart that plan. As I think of that life connection that Jesus goes ahead in my circumstances, I'm reminded that I am never ahead of God. You sometimes feel that way. I wish God would catch up. I wish God would see what's going on and in the world and act. Because I got it figured out, and if God would just kind of crank it up, get in gear. But he's always ahead in the circumstances of life, and I am never ahead of God. I will never get ahead of God. Yet let's look at my human responsibility for a second and yours. We need to close the gap as much as we can. We will never catch up to God. We will never get ahead of God. But we're not sitting in our recliner in our Christian faith doing nothing. We need to do all that we can to close the gap. Here's some ways to close the gap. Number one, in your mind, let your mind drive your emotions. Surrender all the up and down details of life to God. Surrender all the up and down details to God. That's easier when they're up, right? Not so easy when they're down. Let your mind make that decision. Your mind will drive your emotions. Let your emotions catch up to the facts, to the truth. Surrender all the details of your circumstances to God. Next two so's kind of build off of that one. Stay calm in rainy days. God's got this. Stay calm in rainy days. And number three, stay grounded in sunny times. Look at me, life is good. I am so awesome. I should write a book, make a movie, and tell the world how smart and intelligent I am. Blessings are from God. Blessings are worth smiling about, right? Absolutely. Don't forget to smile. But stay grounded in sunny times. God is the author of those blessings. In James, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Surrender the details. Stay calm in rainy days. Stay grounded in sunny times. And driving the big idea of this text, step toward Jesus every day. Step toward Jesus every day. Stop and go starts with a furnished room. There's more furnished room in our lives than we recognize. God is actively working, and in the right time, he will reveal more details in our life. Stop and go starts with the furnished room. The stop and go moves through the challenges of false profession. What a challenging portion of scripture. Judas. Nearly 3 years. Played on the team. Played with the team. The team probably would have fed him the ball when they needed someone to make a big play. The challenges of false profession. We learn here that not everyone who professes Christ possesses Christ. There's also another man who will plays significantly in this little section of scripture, and that is a man named Peter. As we deal with the challenges of false profession, we are also reminded that not all who flop fizzle. One hand we have Judas, the other hand we have Peter. There are sobering lessons for all of us this morning. Verse 17 through 21. And then spilling over into a little portion. I need to read verse 29. It's in the section that we will study later on. But Jesus said, "You're all going to fall away." And what was Peter's response? "Those other guys, I won't count on them. But me, I got this." Judas and Peter. Two very distinct contrasts. We see often in the first couple of years of Christ's ministry, an overconfident Peter. As you go through life and as you find yourself in conversations, as you find yourself interacting with other people, typical overconfidence shows up in the conversation, shows up in the equation. And here's Peter. Overconfident Peter in the conversation. Often, we also have a counterfeit in the congestion of life, and here's Judas. We're not going to focus on Judas and Peter so much as we're going to focus on the one who is the theme of our study and drives us into this room and drives us out in the world this next week, and that is God. There is always the Son of God and always the Spirit of God in the corner of every true Christian. Peter, I got this. I always got this. Judas, I'm not who I say I am. I'm not who you think I am. Here's the one who's always got it. Here's the one who is who he says he is. Jesus Christ, but also the Spirit of God. They are always in the corner of every true Christian, and that is you this morning if you're a follower of Jesus. Jesus saves. The Spirit seals. Out of love, God the Father acted. Out of love, Jesus Christ went to the cross. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not eternally perish, but live. We are saved by grace through faith, and that faith is even a gift. We respond to God's grace through our faith, and we find the roots of our faith in God's work himself. One verse that we do not want to miss this morning, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Write that down in your notes, Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Sealed by the Spirit. Look a bit at the divine human interaction when it comes to salvation. Christ has done what needed to be done on the cross. He is our substitute, perfect sacrifice. His shed blood covers our sins forever. We desperately need this. We're all sinners. The wages of our sin is death, eternal separation from God. But God demonstrated his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And God is not willing that any should eternally perish. All those are words of Scripture. All who call on me will be saved. And as we admit that we're a sinner, we agree with the claims of Christ that he is God the Son, and what he did on the cross is our solution. As we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, numerous wonderful things happen. Baptized into the body of Christ, sealed by the Spirit forever. John MacArthur said it so well a few years ago, if I could lose my salvation, I would. What is the thing that keeps us? The seal of the Spirit of God. God is the one who saves and keeps. He was active in our salvation process in eternity past. He is active in our salvation in eternity present. He is active in our salvation in eternity forever. God is the one who saves. God is the one who keeps. We must repent. We must confess. We must submit. And then as followers of Jesus, in love, in obedience, we follow. This section hits the challenge, the realities of true faith and false faith. True profession, false profession. It hits it head on. And we are left with the struggles, with the tensions of Judas on one hand and Peter on the other. Judas was never genuine. Peter was genuine. He flopped miserably. He got up and he made his mark. And we study his words, and we'll study some of his words in depth in just a couple of months. This paragraph warns the reader to examine themselves through the lens of Scripture, through the lens of the Spirit of God. It warns us as followers of Jesus, as professing Christians, to repeatedly examine ourselves for a Judas-like spirit in our lives. While the activities of Judas were unique in one sense, it does challenge us that the spirit of Judas can be lurking inside of us as followers of Jesus. And the communion time is always a good time to examine ourselves, to listen to the Spirit of God, and deal with the realities. Full stop. Fresh start. Forward steps. The life connection, God is the one who saves and keeps, and that gives us a so. God is the one who saves and keeps. So, number one, in this section, swim in the holiness of God. If you're concerned you're a Judas, swim in the holiness of God. Jump into that pool. Swim in the holiness of God. If you're not a follower of Christ, you will want to get out of that pool as fast as you can, and that's a warning sign. If you are a follower of Jesus and you jump into that pool, the holiness of God pool, the more you're in that pool, the more comfortable you are with the temperature. The more you enjoy being wet. The more you want to go around the pool and check it out and enjoy it all. Swim in the holiness of God. What have we learned so far? Surrender the details, up and down details to God. Stay calm in rainy days. Stay grounded in sunny days. Step toward Jesus every day. Swim in the holiness of God. And as we think of the reality and the challenge of false professions, share the clarity of the gospel. We cannot water the gospel down and have the gospel. Share the clarity of the gospel. I can only share the clarity of the gospel when I know the clarity of the gospel. In one sense, it is simple. In another sense, it is absolutely profound. But it's always the same. It comes back to this: God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner in this one-on-one conversation between me and God. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Jesus Christ is not a hope. He is the hope. He's not an option in the ice cream factory of life, just one of many flavors. He's the only flavor on the menu. And it doesn't matter if we think that's stifling or not. The building's burning. You don't need 31 exits out of the building. You need the one that works and the one that gives you escape. And Jesus Christ is the escape hatch. He's also the reason to get up every morning. Swim in the holiness of God. Share the clarity of the gospel. Well, we've looked at the furnished room. The stop and go begins with a furnished room. The stop and go deals with the challenging realities of false profession. And we do see an element of hope in there as we see Peter, who flopped a bit, but not forever. Verse 22 and following, last section of today. The stop and go, full stop, fresh start, forward steps, is energized by the finished pledge. You need some energy today? Here we go. There's quite a bit of hot salsa here. Verse 22 through 28. The stop and go is energized by the finished pledge. We go through the communion experience and celebration, which we will do in just a moment. After singing a hymn, the songs of the Hallel, Psalm 115 through 118 approximately, they went out to the Mount of Olives. We were just there with the Olivet Discourse. We'll be back there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away." But then he said, "I will go ahead of you to Galilee." After the crucifixion, the resurrection, we're not done, guys. You come back to me. I'll be waiting for you. We'll deal with what we need to deal with, and we'll go forward, and you'll be part of turning the world upside down for the glory of God. Here's our life connection for today. In this section, God always finishes the project he started. he starts. God always finishes the projects he begins. When you came to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when you became a Christian, a believer, a follower of Jesus, that process began in eternity past. It picks up steam in your life in that moment of your conversion. He's not done. And he's not going to be done. He's going to finish the project he started in your life. God is in complete control of the circumstances of life. He's in complete control in the salvation process. And in this sense, he is in complete control in the sanctification process. That's a big old word. Just think Christian growth, growing in Christ. There are many parts to sanctification, and we won't deal with them specifically this morning. I want you to focus on this one aspect. Me, us, going forward with Jesus as a believer. Becoming more and more like Christ in my life. How long will that take the rest of your life? The process will not be complete until you step into eternity. But it's a process that has begun, that is to continue, that is to pick up speed, take ground, and part of our sanctification process is circumstances. And God is going to allow stuff into our life, the sunny times and the rainy days, to grow us, to mature us. And he's in complete control of those processes. And what keeps us a bit grounded in life is when I don't understand stuff, I know God does. He's in control. While I don't understand it, and while my emotions are just bouncing off the walls, I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to consciously move toward him. He's in complete control. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I think we have that up on the screen. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it, will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. He will be faithful to complete it in your life, in the life of this church, in the life of the gospel movement. God, his plan, is going to come out on top. So we marvel at his mercy. We're gripped by his grace. We're humbled by our lack of holiness. We are heartened by his holiness, his interest, his care, his compassion in us. We're about to come to the communion table. Just as Jesus did with his 11 faithful disciples on that day. And this is our moment. This is our stop and go sign. He has dropped this into our life to bring us to a full stop. Why? So we think. But we're not going to stay here. He wants us to move forward. And wherever we've been in the past and recently, this is a fresh start. And part of communion is we're to evaluate, to inspect, do inventory in our lives and deal with sin, confess it, repent of it, shed it, and move forward. Fresh start. Fresh start that is characterized by forward steps. The worst sin you could ever commit is to ignore Jesus. to refuse to come to him in faith, to reject his offer of salvation forever. This is a moment where I get to be his spokesman and say, you can know Jesus for all eternity. Admit you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus is God the Son, that his cross, his empty tomb make all the difference. Surrender. Confess him as Lord and Savior. Receive the gift. And then come to his table celebrating what his sacrifice did. Celebrate the meaning of his love. For many of us who have followed Jesus a long time, this is a serious table. We're in trouble when we ignore it. We're in trouble when we don't give it the attention that is due. He intentionally puts us here, this here for our benefit. A full stop, a fresh step, a fresh start, and forward steps. Let me give you a couple so's. As we come to the communion table, look up in worship. Look up in worship. Look back in thanksgiving. Look back in thanksgiving. This week in my quiet time, I was reading through some of the Psalms and a couple of verses just jumped out at me, and as I was approaching these Hillel passages, and I said, oh, that's a nugget for Sunday. 107th Psalm, verse 43. See in our history the faithful love of the Lord. See in our history the faithful love of the Lord. Psalm 108. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Reaches to the clouds and through the clouds and all the way through all of space and time. Look up in worship. Look back in thanksgiving. Look around in fellowship. The Lord's table is for his church. And as we come to the table, we're to look around. See, it's not just about us. It's about the family of God. And together we work doing what God has called us to do. Then look forward in anticipation. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. We can count on that. Full stop, fresh start, forward steps. Let me lead us in prayer, and then we will come to the Lord's table. As we've been doing for a number of months, we just invite you to come up to one of the tables on the front row and take your communion elements back to you. There's the prepackaged kind. There's also the kind that has two cups together, the juice and the bread. Take them back to your table. Breathe up a word of prayer to God, and then we will participate together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son's love. We thank you for the Spirit's love and active work in the salvation process, including sealing us. And the more we study and understand God and his work, we understand there is in no way any excuse for our sin. And if we're content to jump into the sin pool and are comfortable there, we ought to really question if we truly know Christ. May we in this moment in time jump into the pool of God's holiness, find comfort there, find enjoyment there, and be all that you've called us to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.